Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Today's episode of If These Ovaries Could Talk is brought to you by Grove.co. We're excited to have them on board.
So excited.
So exciting.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk.
I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts. As always.
Oh, God, we really have to stop saying that.
Why?
It's like when people just leave.
It's become our thing.
Like, bye.
It's our thing.
Like, I wonder if people just check in to see if we're still saying that 3 seasons later.
I don't think so. I think they just fast forward to the guest. Like, oh.
Wait, before we get to our guest, we have a very exciting announcement.
We do.
We are doing another live podcast taping with WNYC at the Green Space.
The Green Space.
On June 10th.
It's very exciting, and it's the month of Pride.
It is. It's World Pride in New York City for all the month of June, mm-hmm. which is exciting. Mm-hmm. And it's the 50th anniversary of Stonewall.
Yeah.
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 I didn't know that, but yeah.
Yeah. It is. So it's like, there's going to be so much celebrating. So we think you should celebrate a little bit by getting tickets to our podcast.
You totally should.
And come seeing us live.
Oh, and it's really fun.
Yeah.
Seeing a live podcast is a good time.
It's amazing.
When we first did our first one, I was like, who wants to see a live podcast?
And I was Jamie, everyone does.
But then we went to see one and it was really fun.
Well, we saw Judy Gold. So
yeah.
How great was she last week, by the way?
Awesome.
Fucking Judy Gold.
Oh, fucking Judy. Even though she yelled at
me. I still love that she yelled at you. It was amazing. So if you want to get tickets for our live event, you're going to go to www, although nobody says the www, but I just said it, thegreenspace.org, and it's greenespace.org. And you're going to look for the podcast mixtape series, June 10th. Get your tickets now.
So fun.
And also,
stick around at the end of the episode because we have another update from Tiff and Carissa.
I mean, it's getting good, Tiff and Carissa,
their
story.
It's getting juicy. They're going to talk to us about how they're making a baby.
Yeah, because like the last one was a little bit of a cliffhanger. They were a little bit like, okay.
Tracking.
Yeah, I was like, why are you tracking? What are you doing? Why are you tracking your
ovulation? Because you and I just went to fertility doctors. Yeah. We didn't track. Eventually I ended up tracking because of all the infertility.
But I tracked nothing.
You didn't track. You didn't track shit.
I sure didn't. Sounds like jack shit. But so we've got an update from them and it's juicy.
It's very
if I do say so juicy. Myself.
Yeah, it's good.
We're gonna have some stuff to say about it.
Oh God. Okay, so let's get to this episode.
Yes.
Let's talk about who we have coming in here.
Okay. So I came across this study that came out in February. Mm-hmm. And basically what they're saying is that there's going to be an LGBTQ millennial baby boom.
That's
like
weird.
That's coming.
That's crazy.
So they were saying that the millennials are basically leading the way when it comes to growth in our families.
I mean, I guess that makes sense because right? They're the ones that are about to have babies.
Yeah, but it's not just that babies. Though. They're actually having more babies than we did, which, you know,
that's so the generation. Millennials don't strike me as the type that are going to have babies.
Well, and by the way, that's also interesting too, because I think that millennials in general, and I'm a little bit talking out my ass here, but I think I've heard this before, that in general, they're having less children than the generations prior to them, whereas the LGBTQ millennials are having more children than the generations prior to them.
I think you just made that up.
I didn't, I swear. I definitely heard it. Like, now, can I footnote
that? That's crazy.
Yeah, so we got a little baby boom.
Yeah, that's exciting.
The study said that 77% of LGBTQ millennials are either already parents or already considering having children. So what do you think we're going to talk about today?
Dum, dum, dum.
Two millennials.
We are talking to two millennials.
Who do not have a baby, but are talking about wanting to and what to do. And it's the two Barons.
And they're both named Baron.
They're both named Baron. What are the chances?
What are the odds of that? And what kind of, and Baron anyway.
Yeah, we'll get talk to about that. Let's bring the two Barons in.
Yeah, let's.
And let's talk millennials in. And babies.
It's going to be an interesting episode.
Are you ready?
I don't know. Hello, hello, hello.
Hi, two Barons.
Hi, Barons.
What are the Robin chances of having two Barons on our podcast, Jamie?
What are the chances of having two Barons that are dating each other?
One has one R and the other has two R's.
I didn't know that.
One is superior.
Whoa. I don't know which one that
now,
is.
Now, just for differentiating sake, one of the Barons, a single R Baron, I work with. So I have come to know other Baron as other Baron.
You know, I wanted to talk about this like right off the bat of the episode is like how we're going to refer to each other. Yeah. And I would deeply prefer if we refer to him as other Baron.
I think we're good.
I thought you were going to go someplace really like heartfelt about
like
him being heard and felt and
well, you know,
seen.
My hair ladies had a whole meltdown because I've been going to them for 6 years and then he decided he was going to go to them. They all call him other Baron.
Yeah.
And the last time I was there, they were like, dude, other Baron made an appointment with us. And I was like, yeah, I did refer him. Like, y'all give really great haircuts.
By the way, they thought it was like somebody from, you know, from the Niagara Falls region. Like, sure, you're dating a Baron. Sure.
Yeah, no, they thought I was lying, I guess. But they had this whole like meltdown and they were like, what are we going to call him? What are we going to call him? What are we going to call him? And I think, what do they call you? They call you like
Baron the Great.
Yeah, yeah.
They Baron the something Great. Cute. Uh-huh.
Oh. But you're just other, Baron. He's other Baron.
Baron the Great's cheesy smile is like, I like that one. I like that. But I think for the purposes of this, we're going to call you other Baron.
That's fine
all
with
right,
me.
All right, so we have Baron and other Baron, and you are our first millennial guests.
Well,
you know, I'm actually a cusp millennial Gen Z.
You need that so bad.
I don't even know.
I need
it's
that.
The next, Gen Z's coming after millennials.
Okay, well.
So we wanted to talk about the difference between your generation and our generation and the idea of planning a family.
Yeah. And we should clarify, you guys don't have a family yet.
No.
True.
No. But you're not married.
We are not.
Oh, yeah. We didn't do your elevator pitch. No. Can you give us your elevator pitch about...
He had a good one last night and he said it to me this morning and he cried.
Okay. Other Baron goes first then.
Yeah. So we're definitely like complementary opposites in the sense that where one of us can be hard, the other is soft. Like we really complement each other.
Guess who's hard?
Baron.
We like complement each other in these ways that stretch each other and like allow each other to grow. So we just have a really cool relationship in that
sense.
Sounds
nice.
Yeah. We've known each other for a really long time.
Oh.
We met through my friend Jane, and I'm a very competitive person.
Oh, I love it.
So all of a sudden there's this other Baron who might be like the funnier Baron or the hotter Baron or the more
friend.
Muscular. Exactly. Exactly. The gay friend. But we're both named Baron. And so I was really intimidated and kind of didn't like him whenever we first met. But
and I
then,
picked up on it.
I wish you could see Baron smirking right now.
We actually got matched in an Uber pool. One
Stop
time.
It.
Yeah, so basically what had happened was we met at a party. We were at like an NYU stupid like Brooklyn rooftop party. And we went and I went with some friends and my friend, our Jane, was like, oh, you have to come meet other Baron. And I was like, same boat. Honestly, I was like, I mean, it's like, you know, you're used
I'm the Baron.
To being the only Baron.
Especially
in a room.
When Baron is such a specific name.
Exactly.
We're not Michael.
Like,
yeah, right.
I'm used to being the only Baron in a room. And I also always get compliments on my name.
True. Once a week.
Yeah. I mean, my first impression was definitely, I was like, he's rude. And but it was because he like wasn't immediately nice to me, which is usually how I gauge if I like someone or not.
And, they like you.
And so, but now it's like, now that I have gotten to know him a little better, I just realized he was reserved.
So what is it like in your generation, family planning? Is it like for us, I mean, not everybody was, there wasn't this given that you were going to have a baby. There was, it was kind of like, oh, I don't know, like maybe I'm gay and you don't get to have kids. And then it, some people started to have them and then it was, it became a thing, but.
Right. And every couple we interview, it's the one person that always says,
I never thought I would.
So
that, like, I would say is probably the biggest difference. Like I've never ever thought like, oh, I'm gay, I can't have a baby.
Never.
Like I saw a lot of gabies. I've seen gabies out the booty hole, like so many gabies.
I don't think they came out the booty hole, Baron.
So, you know what? I actually thought that's how babies were born for like so long.
Your mom's an OBGYN. I don't understand
how for even a second.
I remember until about seventh grade.
Okay, so it never occurred to you. It was always just like, I can if I want to.
Kind of in a sense of like before I had any concept of money at all, I was like, oh yeah, like adoption or like whatever, you do the thing where I like into a tube and like they put it in an egg and like
someone pops it out.
That's been around your whole life.
Yeah, that's all.
I think actually my whole life it's been around too.
Did you have the same experience as Baron?
You know, I never saw any older gay couples with kids, like in TV or movies, but still had the sense that it was possible, that almost like the received idea that just like straight people having a baby is what you do.
Right.
Right. So it, for you, it always felt like it is part of what you do. Eventually you have a kid.
Exactly. Yeah.
So were you out? Like when did you come out? Like, were you always out as gay? Like, do you always know?
Well, I guess so. I've known that I was gay since puberty hit. Like for forever, but I didn't come out to friends until college.
Oh.
And that was an experience of just like being gay, like not having to say the words I'm gay ever, but just like I came out as somebody being like, oh, we're all gay in this room. And I didn't object.
Uh-huh.
And so I never came out until I came out to my dad this year.
This year?
Exactly.
I feel like a lot of millennials are coming out later than we did in some ways. Because I don't know.
I feel like it's almost a stereotype though that like people are coming out younger at like 14, 15, 16. And that was definitely like the experience of the gay people that I knew in high school.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
So that's a good question. Were there a lot of gay people in your high school?
I had two gay friends, gay male friends who were out.
But you still didn't come out.
No.
And why not when already they were out?
Right. So I grew up in rural Indiana with a super conservative religious family.
Uh-huh.
And for that reason, just didn't feel comfortable. And I guess I'm working through that in therapy.
You're still Aren't we all? Came out to your dad.
Exactly. And
how
so even with my mom, so my little sister asked, my mom asked.
They were like, who's this other Baron we keep seeing?
Exactly, actually.
One time we had to go to dinner and he wasn't out yet. And he was like, no, just come, it's fine. And I was like, are you sure?
Did you arrive in your giant cow skin coat with your lying horrible?
No, it was summer, but like I didn't even think about it. I was like, I'm just going to do whatever. And then I showed up and then talked all of their ears off. And then at one point in the dinner and her mom, we were talking about basketball. And I was really into playing basketball with my friends at that time. And she looks at me dead in the eye and she goes, you like basketball? I lost it. I started laughing so hard. I couldn't contain it.
Amazing.
It was just so funny.
So after that dinner, they were like, other Baron.
It was soon after.
But
that
this
she
was
asked.
After yeah. college.
They asked you directly.
It was after college. Yeah.
So, I mean, we always say on our show that we've paved the way and it's so much easier for you guys. But you came out the same time I came out.
Mm.
Me too. In many ways, you did pave the way, though.
I think the conversation
was probably 100 times easier. I mean, I'm assuming.
Well, how so let's actually get to my dad.
Easy. Yeah.
So I came out to him over an email right before Christmas. Yeah. And so we're still working through that.
As in this past Christmas?
This past Christmas.
What did he say?
He wasn't sure if it was natural because he gets all his news through Fox News.
Sure.
Like that's, he doesn't know any gay people. What he's been told about gay people comes from this like twisted place. And like as a straight white well-off dude, he really hasn't had to empathize with anybody ever. And so like, as we were talking, he was like, so you need me to put myself in your shoes, and you're telling me that you think you were really born gay. And so to like watch him really have to empathize and process this like really hard thing that was so not like what he's believed in the past, but with somebody that he loves so much, was like a kind of a fascinating, weird conversation to have to have.
That's beautiful. I mean,
it will be.
I was gonna say,
it's the beauty of the, it's just the beauty of the struggle, and it's just
right.
I'm so two-dimensional in my thinking. Like, I really thought you guys didn't have issues like this, honestly.
Yeah.
Which is terrible. And that's the state of where we are, by the way, it could have been 10 times worse
15 years ago. It could have been get out of the house. I don't ever want to speak to you again. Like, at least this point, it's a dialogue.
But that can still be a thing. I mean,
I've told you
about the time that like a picture of me at a Planned Parenthood rally, like somehow got somewhere. My dad saw it and he's very conservative. And I just got like a slew of text messages that was like, bye, pretty much. And so like that can still happen. I think even
Do you think that's in part why you haven't come out yet?
It was definitely like, we're going to table that until at least I was in the middle of college and like still they were supporting me. And now that they aren't, it's kind of like, I mean, all right, now it's time to deal with this.
Finances are definitely like a huge part of it because you're completely dependent on this set of people. And if they don't think a certain way, like you have to take a real risk no matter what.
Well, here's the thing. We grew up, we were talking about the like gay representation, at least with like chill, like Modern Family, all the stuff. We grew up with the good stuff, but because we grew up with the internet, we also grew up with like all the bad stories too. Mm. And so you also saw the kids who were like homeless LGBT youth. And like, that's like a huge, you know, there are organizations that only support LGBT youth. And so you also know, you're like, all right, it could go this way or it could go real bad. And so I think it's more just exposure to every kind of experience is what we had.
So then my question is, did your parents watch Modern Family with you? Did they watch Modern Family? Like the show?
I think my mom did.
How about you, other Baron?
My parents.
I remember my parents not liking Glee. Or hearing Lady Gaga talk on Oprah about being pansexual. And my mom was like, listen how twisted that is. And I was like,
oh, wow. Yeah. Robin, you're never going to believe this. I found a way to get my five-year-old to clean with
you
me.
You are a bold-faced liar.
No, I'm not kidding. She's not just cleaning. She's loving it.
Yeah. I'm still in disbelief over
here. No, seriously. You know what happened? I used the magic of grove.co.
Oh, okay.
And with them, you too can get your kids excited to scrub some bathtubs
with you.
All right.
I'm starting to listen. Tell me something.
Here's what you have to do. You know how kids love getting packages
in the mail, right? Of course.
So I went to grove.co with her and I had her help me pick out cleaning supplies to get. And she got super into it because the packaging on all these products is done so well. They look like cool things to get. It's pretty.
Of course.
So then I had the package.
And you're like sneaking in that this is like environmentally friendly stuff.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Then I had the package addressed to her, of course.
Of course.
She got crazy excited and she couldn't wait to get the box and start using the products.
Well, and now, you know, like I'm intrigued because grove.co comes right to my door and I don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be a win for you. And you don't have to worry about your kids breathing in all the cleaning chemicals because all of the products sold at grove.co are natural and eco-friendly. Your kids can clean the day away and their lungs stay healthy too.
That's amazing.
I know.
I mean, I'm just, I mean, this is great.
Rose and I both got really excited about the Miss Myers Spring Multi-Purpose Spray.
Oh, of course.
Well, because, you know, kids love to spray
they
things.
They love spraying
And you can spray it anywhere because it's natural.
Of course.
And I love it because it smells good and it's natural. So,
I mean,
it's all good.
Everything is fun.
I know.
Well, I'm a fan too, you know. I mean, and also we all know that you had me sold at Ships Right to Your Door.
Well, of course. I knew. I didn't have to tell you anything else, really.
No, you really didn't.
But you're in luck, Robin, because grove.co is offering our listeners and yourself an exclusive spring offer. For a limited amount of time, our listeners get a 3-piece cleaning set from Mrs. Meyer's Spring Scents, which are awesome.
Amazing.
A free 60-day VIP membership.
Also amazing.
I know. And a surprise bonus gift just for you when you sign up and place an order order of $20 or more.
So much free stuff.
I know. It's only $20 or more. That's all you have to pay.
I think I have to try it.
Yeah.
And listen, everybody, before this exclusive spring offer runs out, listeners, did you hear that? The offer will run out.
Get it.
Check out Grove and our special offer at grove.co/OCT. That's grove.co, not .com, .co/OCT. Grove.co/OCT.
Not .com. Don't put in .com.
No, don't.
And you really are not going to be disappointed.
You're not.
I promise.
I want to ask you a question. It's a little bit of a pivot, but
kind of pivoted this whole conversation.
We're a pivot. Pivot
this. Spend a day with me and Robin. It's like a pivot every 30 seconds.
We don't talk about the same right now. So, I think Baron and I are just on a journey.
It's really
a roller coaster ride.
Okay, so you have this like coming out thing. You're in the midst of coming out, but we're having you on because you two are in talks about like the idea of having a family at some point. Like one of the themes that comes up very regularly is you have to be very out as a family. How would that go over if you have things that aren't like, would you just go forward and then tell them later? Like what, like how would you handle all that?
That was actually a big part of my coming out with my dad, in that he was sort of like, do whatever you want to do, but don't bring kids into this.
Did he say now we have to bring kids into this?
You should have a baby just for that reason.
Right? Yeah. And so like at that point, I was just kind of like, they can either get with the program or not.
Yeah.
Like
this is my life. I'm doing it.
Right. Exactly. And it was almost like hearing something so harsh that allowed me to like let go of the situation or like
it's his problem, not mine.
Let go. Yeah, exactly. And that like fully made me like realize that. Yeah. Like it's obviously something that like I really care about, but like that's not my problem anymore.
Mm. What about you, Baron?
You know, it's different now because as we were talking about before, my parents are getting in the middle of a divorce. So now it's like, I don't have one family unit to come out to. I have a mom and a dad to come out to. Mm-hmm. And my mom, no problem. Like the only reason she doesn't know is like, she's going through her own stuff and we're just going to like, let her do that. And then we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
She loves the gays. And she's like, she's funny because she's kind of a gay man trapped in an older woman's body, and she doesn't even know it. Like her favorite artists are Cher and ABBA, and like she just has
Rufus Wainwright.
Yeah, she has gay tastes, and she like doesn't realize. But my dad, on the other hand, is like, he's very similar to Baron's dad, but I always say he should know better because he's like, we grew up in like the middle of Dallas, which is a city of like 8 million people. Like there was a gayborhood. Like I saw gay people all the time growing up. Mm. And it's kind of like what I say about like Orange County Republicans. I'm like, they know better.
they should know better.
Right.
They know better.
Here's what else I'll say is I haven't talked a lot about my mom, but I feel like a lot of her struggle was like, is my child going to have an okay life? And so I feel like it'll be an extremely healing process to gift her grandchildren and show her that I can still have this rich family life. Exactly.
Well, yeah. And that's what we find on this podcast all the time, is that
when
we have kids, all of a sudden our family relationships improve because it's all about the grandkid.
Yep.
Well, yeah. Well, my mom wants grandkids. Like she is dying to be this like grandma.
So I'd love to talk about, like, you two are far enough along in your relationship that you're talking about the idea or wanting to have kids. So I'm really interested if there's a difference in your age, how you're approaching it, if it's the same, or just like where you guys are at.
Well, here's what we need to talk about. That is, whenever you talk about the difference between like, what are you guys, like Gen X?
We're Gen X, Jamie.
Okay, so you guys are Gen X, we're millennials. The thing that's like fundamentally different between our generations, I think, is 2008 and the crisis that happened in 2008. The mortgage thing.
Oh, the mortgage industry dropped out.
So, that was also like,
2008, 2009,
I was in like eighth grade. And
but
I remember,
you have to remember, I remember a recession in 2003. I remember a recession when I came out of college in 91.
But 2008 was bad. Like really bad.
As was 91.
And I think maybe the difference
because
was,
I had no money because I was like a starving artist.
Stuff is cheap. So we had to sell
our apartment during that. It was not great.
But this is what I'm saying. We saw that. And so I think that's like a fear that has made us much more skeptical to financial institutions. Like going into debt sounds like the worst thing ever to me.
You think that's because your parents had student loan debt and then they are saying you shouldn't
have
it?
Well, and everyone in our generation has student loan debt too.
Oh, everyone. Yeah. And so it's like when you look at like the cost of having a child as a gay person, it's super high.
Especially
so it's like a mortgage.
Men.
Right. The thesis of this entire podcast too is really that alternative families or LGBTQ families or whatever have to go about things intentionally.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so because we're at this place in our lives where we're really laying the foundation for everything, we have to think about, like, are we going to have two kids or are we going to buy a home? Mm-hmm. Like, we have to think about those choices now,
right,
because we are coming of age in a system that requires us to plan ahead like this.
You're a planner. I don't know. Like,
yes.
No, the question is it chicken before the egg or the egg before the chicken? Like, are you a planner because your generation has to think about these things, or are you a planner?
Or is it just other parents?
No, I think we give more up.
In my 20s, that was not.
I think we actually give more up, where we go like most of my friends are like, home ownership? No, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, Pam. No, spam. Like, that's not happening. Like,
so do you think that, like, this, I never even thought of the idea that you're saddled with student loans and now making a baby on top of that is this equally expensive thing. Is that something that stops you, do you think? Or where are you two with that?
Well, my thing has always been this with children. I don't have an affinity toward children. I would maybe like them if they were mine. That being said,
definitely having some.
No, that being said, if I can have a child or two, I don't want more than two, and I can maintain my current lifestyle, and, like, let's be real, I'm gonna need a nanny. And I'm going to need a night nanny. Because guess what? I'm not getting up in the middle of the night. Well, I have Other Baron.
I can't wait to hear what Other Baron says.
Other Baron.
How can millennials afford both having a child and avocado toast?
I mean.
Right.
I don't care about avocado toast.
Are you guys ready to give something? Like, because to me, you may have to give some things up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, that's kind of what, like, and there's so many things.
Also, let me say, I feel like I was born to be a dad.
Yeah, we know.
I can see that.
You're driving the baby thing?
I love Other kids. Baron? Yes. I absolutely want to have a child.
So my thing is this. I do like kids. I think they're cute. I just wish I could send them away until they're like 15. then I could get
six
them.
Six is a fun age.
No, I'm not.
For like an hour.
We're going to make Other Baron be serious for a minute.
I'm about to have Other Baron come and help me out with my kids.
I know.
Do you want to babysit?
Sure.
Yes.
As long as I know Minion Rush. I really like
Minion
to play.
Rush.
Yeah, it's a phone
What's
game.
That.
It's
Rose
just like
would be all
fun
up
to
on
watch
that,
a
whatever
kid.
It is.
So can I ask you something? Can I ask if you guys think something is messed up that I think about all the time is with regards to children as like a gay person? I need my genes and my baby. Like, I'll say it, like, or I don't think I'll love it.
That's amazing.
I need the skin in the game. You know what I mean?
So this is interesting because you're talking about it pre-making your family.
Yeah.
And I would have said that before my family. I would have said the same exact thing.
That's interesting.
Yes. And come to find out, no, it does not matter. It does not matter. But being in a gay relationship, this is something that comes up, being in a gay relationship. And Robin, you don't have this experience as much because you...
I had both the kids.
Yeah.
But you know what's funny is I sometimes wonder if I'm full of shit because I was just like, whatever. If one marries, I wouldn't care. But it's like, I knew they were going to be mine.
Listen, what happens with us all the time, I parented one and parented one. And now it's like...
It's necessity.
When we talk about the kids and when we talk about one that's being difficult, there's like a little bit of like...
Oh.
So what's your perfect vision of how you would create a family?
I have a sister who, if we ask nicely, we could possibly use an egg.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, a little baby Baron, Baron would be really fun.
Oh, so for you, it's not necessary that your genetics live on.
Well, if you get your sister, they do live on.
Oh,
right.
Is that
right.
Weird for you at all? The aunt mother, like aunt mother thing? Is that weird for either?
No.
She seems really sweet. I've only met her, twice? Once, maybe.
Twice.
She's very sweet. I feel like she would be really good at that. Because I thought about that too. And I feel like she would actually be really good at like walking that line of like, yes, technically, like these are my direct spawn.
We've never actually had anyone on to talk about that.
We haven't.
Or a kid. Because I'm really interested. Is that weird for the kid?
I think it might. I'm not even worried about the kid. I'm thinking it might get complicated for you guys. Should anything come up? Should anything
happen? What would you advise about surrogacy in terms of knowing the person or not. Like, is it wise to have a personal relationship with your surrogate before the process?
From what we have heard from people we've talked to, knowing the surrogate has been a good thing for every single couple we've talked to.
Anybody
knowing
talked
the
about.
Surrogate and knowing the egg donor.
Yeah, open mm-hmm. has always been better.
Yeah.
So here's okay. But here's my
if
question.
And I be
think
friends,
that fertility
legal.
Is veering in that direction anyway.
Yes.
More and more
adoption
so.
Is.
You know what I heard? I heard they in 25 years they can now like they could take my they could scrape my cheek. Take my get my DNA and make an egg.
We did an episode,
we did an
on
episode
that.
About that.
And then
obviously,
I don't
other
listen
to
you listen to the podcast.
I spend 40 plus hours a week with Robin. I would like to reiterate that.
Yeah, no, it's okay that you don't listen to the podcast. It's fine.
Question. I have a question because okay. other Baron, he would ask Bridget, his sister, to carry the baby for us.
Yeah.
I
carry and have the egg.
Not necessarily.
That's
but
by the way,
if
legally,
she would,
legally,
we could save like a lot of money.
No, legally you can't do that.
Oh.
At
but,
least
well,
in New York
not
State.
Not in New York.
Can't.
That's also but why you want to think about
separation.
Using someone known or family.
Oh, because they can pull some weird stuff.
You never know what right. could happen, which is
that
why.
Could tear a family
which
apart,
is why
though.
Gay families are always advised to do a second parent adoption.
It's like that book, Little Fires Everywhere, where she like. Takes off with her kid. She was supposed to like be it. She was supposed to have this kid for this rich family that couldn't get pregnant. And then she's like, this is my kid. And she
right.
splits a right. town yeah. with her little baby.
Yeah, well, it's like, it's unfortunately for gay men, it's very expensive because right. you have to get the egg donor and then you have to get the
but
surrogate.
How much does that cost? Because I know it's expensive, but like how expensive are we
I
talking?
Think some of the numbers
buck
we 50, heard was like
200,
100.
I thought you said $150.
Like as in $150, $150,000 to $200,000.
Oh, I was like, wow. Kids are
but
cheap.
Does insurance cover any of that?
No.
So wait, hold up. $150,000 to $200,000. I could have a Lamborghini for less than
but
that.
You think in such interesting ways.
Unless you adopt.
Well, no,
foster.
And that's if
oh,
it
what
works.
Is adoption cheap? Right. Yeah, I know. That's the thing. That's the
wait,
other thing.
Did you
it's
say,
like,
Jamie?
That's if it works.
That's why we have to start planning now.
We talked to some people. There's an org called Gay Parents to Be, and that's run by these two guys, Mark and Greg. There's like scholarships. There's, you know, there's things you can do.
God, I have to apply.
But, you,
to
but also keep in mind that like, so you, if you're harvesting from somebody, you might get like 20 eggs. They're all like 10 of them are fertilized. So you use two and get pregnant and then you use some more later.
You're
so
lost
you don't have
me.
To,
I see.
You don't have to harvest twice.
Right.
Maybe. It all, it's really
just, harvest.
It's hard for you guys.
That's what it's called.
Maybe we adopt. We just take the genetics
that's
out of
this. That's also hard too.
And well, here's the tea. So, okay. Well, I have a question.
But how hard is the job? Like, how do you adopt a kid?
Listen, all of this is very hard.
I mean, this is really what we're getting to.
To adopt right. is really difficult because there are a lot of couples out there who want to adopt in the country. And so finding a family that will give their baby to you. And now it's all
especially
mostly
if you want
open adoption. So they have to choose you too.
I see.
In an ideal world, how would you make your baby?
In an ideal world, we would use barren sperm and possibly my sister's egg if she volunteered it.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably have a surrogate to carry it.
So, but then you're saying we need to like know the surrogate?
You don't have to. Well, yes. No, actually, yes, you do because you have to. There's
still
agencies.
What if I don't like
to?
Them? I don't.
Well, you don't pick
you have
them.
To choose someone you like.
But
you
how do
choose
I
choose the surrogate?
Yeah, I choose the surrogate,
but
like,
they also have to choose you
how
back.
Fast do you have to make that decision? Like, no, I want to get to know
we
you.
Need to start making female want. Friends.
To girl, no
oh,
problem.
No, if that, I don't. Well, if you could find
would,
a friend to do it, that's amazing. But it, you
this
have to
off
like
the rails.
You go and you.
I'm
you,
not asking any of my friends to carry my child.
There are agencies who handle this whole surrogate / egg donor business, and you go into the agency, and then they help you through the whole.
Oh
process.
God, I'm gonna have to be on good behavior.
But you need money.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all right there.
I would like to look at the cost of both options because, like, I think I would be really happy adopting a child. Not from America, but like adopting a child and raising a child here. I think I would really like that. But then I would need to see like the cost of like what he said.
Well, I think it's literally a scale situation. Adoption is less money, but more unknowns.
Like, and what do you mean by unknowns?
It could take.
So
I don't think it takes that long, but it could take
like,
2 to 3 years, and it
we're planning ahead. We're like, yeah. like if we need to get it, if we're like, all right, I think in 5
and
years,
then maybe you're in the
50
grand range. you know, then
it
there's
costs $50,000 to have it.
This is what I'm
internationally,
saying.
Internationally,
give me the child.
There's like you have to donate to the country. There's all kinds of things that, right. and then you're traveling to the country, and then you're, you know, and then you might have to wait. There's like, and then you might have to just one of you does
and
it.
You don't necessarily get a newborn.
Yeah, you might get
That's
a year
fine.
Old kid.
I don't want the baby.
But you also said like 10 minutes ago you want your genes.
Yeah, but I don't know. Right. Maybe it's for the best. But we keep this train
you
going.
Know. You don't know. And this is the beauty of what we're talking about right now is you guys are like trying to figure this out.
Right.
And we've been there. We were there.
I think.
But it's hard for me to remember where. Like I said to my, I thought we were going to use a friend donor yep. for sure. Of course I would use a friend, you know. And like I had all these ideas.
Because it sounds so romantic.
Can you believe yeah. straight people can just bone?
It. You're showing how much thought has to go in.
You guys are 25, 24 yeah, but, and you're thinking about this.
And because
like
you
10 or 15
have to.
Years out. Yeah, we have yeah. to.
Because, no, you have to. There's no other choice.
Yeah, and there's like this, it's like, I think if you were straight in your age and had the same relationship and knew you wanted to be together, I don't know that you would be having this conversation. No. You would just be like, let's wait 8 years and right. then we start trying.
Well,
like,
yeah,
and
the conversation would be, do you want to have kids?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah,
great. Okay, we'll talk about that.
But
well,
not
and
until
then
28.
Infertility can obviously blindside people, and that can be a really difficult
but
struggle.
Nobody prepares for infertility
exactly.
They just go 8 years from now yeah. we check, and you two are in this very sort of like weird, interesting, fun, like bandying about all these ideas of like get a baby from Mexico, my sister will make, like, because you have to and because you
right.
but at the same time because you can
right.
And I think those are two really interesting things.
Well, and I think too, in addition to the financial stuff, like emotionally preparing for like the vastly different ways that we might have to, I'll say, acquire a child
yeah.
because like that's literally what we have to do. Like that emotional preparation is such a big part of it too.
Yeah.
That it's not just saving up $100,000 so that
yeah.
we can have a baby, but thinking,
like, what if it goes wrong? What if it's hard?
Right.
What if it's, you know, happens too fast. Like you go to adoption, you have a baby in a month, like, or
right.
it's
or
10 years, you have no idea.
Years and it's seven.
Or even like, the emotional decisions of choosing the surrogate together, choosing the egg donor together, choosing what country to adopt from. All of
yeah,
these emotional
right. yeah, what if you argue over that?
That you're going to have to make with the partner you're with.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, it's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's a lot.
What's your perfect, like we talked about the straight couples and when they were to say, you know, at 28, we try. Each of you, what's your try number when you would start trying?
I would love to be really serious in conversations at 37.
Oh,
I'm
so
relieved.
Much time.
Yeah. Oh, thank God. I was so scared he was going to be like 20.
I thought he was going to say like 22.
I'm
not so sure.
I did too, you're because you're meant to be a father. I think you are going to be a really great father.
Yeah,
so, Baron, you too. Baron, you too. Other Baron and Baron. Both.
I'm just going to be fun dad.
What were you going to
no,
say?
No, you're not.
I'm going to be
what
fun
was,
dad.
What was your age?
What was your number?
Well, I honestly didn't.
We should have written it down on post.
Well, you know what
no,
I was thinking? You
I
know what
we had done
well, no,
way.
I will say I was thinking 35.
Oh.
Which is interesting because I assumed you would have been like.
I thought you were going to say late 20s.
26.
Yeah, I thought, so interesting.
So I'm right? the oldest child. My parents were 35, and it was always a discussion in my house that they were happy that they waited.
That's a difference.
That's the yeah. most excited I think
no,
I've ever seen her in a podcast.
That's the question that I couldn't phrase right. Your parents waited to have you. Our
right.
parents, I mean, my mom was actually 30. She was older. How old was your mom?
My mom was 23 when she had my sister, and, or 22 and 28 when she had me.
Yeah, so there's a big, like, that's a difference between your generation and ours.
Right.
Your parents were actually thinking about themselves, and I don't
right.
want to say being more selfish. That's not
no,
the right
but
way to
they
say.
Were able to live a life before having us that was entirely theirs, and they, like, laid this foundation so that things were easier when we came along.
Right.
I often say that Mary and I met when I was 33 and then I had the kids at 38 and 40. I wish that I had the kids earlier because of the ages we'll be when they're in college. And I wish that I think 32, 33 would have been ideal, but I needed us to have met in our 20s for that to happen because I always say to people, have that time that's just the two of you that you're having right now, because you once you have kids, you don't get that back. It's gonna be different
for 18 years at least. Like,
no, Baron, it's gone because
it's literally
it's
gone.
It's gone because
it doesn't make because you have children.
18 years have happened, and you can't then just go. Now let's brunch. Like you're,
or you can be like my
people.
Parents and get divorced.
Yeah, like, no,
like my
you're
wife.
Tired. Your knees hurt. It's different.
I was just looking through old photos.
Oh my God, we were
took,
so
we
fun.
Were in Miami. We were on the.
I remember
cruise.
One year we did Ireland, Paris, and a like beach vacation. We were so fun.
I was looking at that and I was thinking. That's never
it's gone.
Happening.
It's gone.
Again.
It's and by the by, done. The time
it'll happen in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, this and Baron has been around for this. My kids this summer are both going to, and I'm going to give a shout out to Camp Highlight, the camp that's for kids of LGBTQ families. Last year, Maxine went, and this year Henry's going. So for 1 week only, we keep saying. We're going to be like, free. It's going to be like we're 20 and we're
you
already,
guys are not going to do anything.
We're already like overbooked. I'm like, we're going to play tennis in the morning.
Yeah. Right.
I'm like at night, we're going to be like, we're going out to dinner. Who wants to join us? And by the way, if this was a sitcom, cut to the
we're
two of us.
We're
going
to go to a
like,
movie
by ourselves. I'm going to bring booze into that movie. And like, by the way, cut to seriously us just like not doing any of
no,
it.
No, you're not going to do anything.
Or we'll do too much. One dinner.
No, we're definitely
we're
doing
do
but it's
dinner.
Just like, you don't go back.
I get it.
It just,
no,
it's like,
I know,
but it's a different kind of fun.
Yeah.
No?
You go back in it. I think that
this, you want
we're
different
not on
fun.
The other end yet. We're in it.
But
the also
thick.
Jamie, there's an aging thing that happens too. Is like, it's just, even if my kids were magically not here today, I would not want to do what you're doing.
I don't think we're doing what you think we're doing.
No, I don't even want to go to dinner at 9. It's like one of you was talking about a birthday party at 9 on last night. And I was like, 9? I was like, I'm going to show up at 9?
No,
that's a nightmare to both.
We're literally on that level. Like, we're domestic. Like, we were just at lunch with two of our friends.
You're domestics who do edibles on Sundays. Like, come on, dude.
Or on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a freaking baby to watch. So.
Exactly.
No, you don't.
But
no,
so I'm just saying, don't hold on to this concept that it's coming back.
You know,
a baby,
you're no,
like,
but
shifts.
I think I knew that. I
okay.
like never like
edibles, watch the baby play Minion Rush.
No, but what if the baby, what if something happens to the baby?
Listen,
that's what
you guys,
no,
my dad taught my whole life. And it really? There was not an issue. It's
wait, what happened?
Wait,
wait,
though,
wait,
Jamie. Edibles, you're all in.
My dad smoked pot my whole life.
This gets back to the thing. I want to be a responsible parent. I realize for me, that's going to take some money. So like,
why is it going to take money?
Because I need a nanny. Like I
being a responsible parent means you need a nanny.
Yes, ma'am.
That's not the way it works.
He is. He knows. And at this point, like this is what we're saying. They're in a dreaming stage.
You're right. You're right. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you. You're right.
No.
You're right. Thank you.
And I don't know how much. Well, you guys, y'all are in the thick of it, so you would know. Like in terms of like parenting styles, like you. I remember like a year ago, or no, maybe it was last summer. I don't know. Something happened at a Henry's school where like a teacher cut herself on accident and like bled, and then you were like, "Look at this," and like you got an email from the school that was like. There was an incident at school, like blah, blah, blah. The kids were able to like express themselves
they
via like drawing and blah, blah, blah. And like, and what's funny is I remember that actually happened to my first grade teacher. And like she literally in one of those paper cutters, like sliced half of her thumb off.
Oh,
and all of us were like, whoa. And like nothing happened. That was just like,
yeah,
she was like,
there was no family email. There was no therapist.
She went to the hospital. Yeah. We got a substitute teacher and we were like, Miss Butterworth cut her thumb off.
And by
today.
The way, had I not gotten that email from the school, which by the way, I've forgotten about this. Had I not gotten that email from the school, I wouldn't have known it even happened. Cause when I was like, I came home and I was like, are you guys okay? And they were like, yeah.
Well, this is the thing. So I feel like there's this pressure on parents today to like be the perfect parent and to like make sure you're not doing anything that's going to mess up your kid in the long run. But sometimes kids are just duds. Like sometimes you get a dud kid and he's going to be a POS. The fear that sometimes parents have where they're trying to like, if they check everything on the list and like, I was the perfect parent, then if my kid's a dud,
perfect school,
if my kid is a dud, he's a dud. Like it wasn't my fault.
No parent
ever thinks that
they're a perfect parent.
Okay.
Oh, like I would never be able to, maybe that's what you're saying. I would never be able to cut myself off and be like, I did everything I could.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always your fault when you're a parent.
Right. No parent.
Well, here's the thing too,
perfect.
Is we talk so much and think so much about like mental and emotional wellness that there's this heightened like thing to live up to that like you don't mess up a person. And like,
so here's the thing. Here's the difference between our generation. Millennials are thinking about, what did you just say? Mental and what? Awareness? Right?
Emotional?
Yeah. Mental and emotional awareness. I never said that in my 20s.
Well,
no. So that's a big difference.
Except,
I mean, we're thinking about it now.
Well, I'm going to devil's advocate for you only because my family was so fucked up that I thought that way. Because my family was so messed up, I thought, I can't break this child the way I was broken. Right. So I wonder if that's the same thing you're saying is like, I always say to Mary, the analogy is like, you know, when you get a new t-shirt, like you, that first time you spill something on it, it's ruined. And you're like, that's how I feel about my children, because I was so broken that for me, the idea that anytime I do something wrong, I stained my child. And I wonder if you guys are saddled with that as a generation. Like for me, I'm saddled with that because of my parents.
Right.
I think for you guys, it's just you grew up more with mental and emotional health
then,
awareness.
Or then like, on the flip
or
side,
like
it's
trigger
like,
warnings. And
that's more
exactly
Gen Z.
Like, can we create like too cushy of an environment for our kids? Like, can we coddle them so much to their detriment?
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yep.
So, but that's my question is like, how big is that pressure? Like, do you still feel like you're in your own lane of parenting where you're like, listen, I'm going to parent my kid the way I'm going to parent my kid. And like other parents can piss off.
Yes. Because at the end of the day, when you're alone in your house at night and your child, your 5-year-old is throwing a tantrum like you've never seen in your life. And you're alone with your wife and both trying to deal with it and arguing with each other because life fucking sucks right now. And she just woke up the baby and it's all just what the fuck you know?
This is why I want the night
nanny.
No,
when you're alone, it's not about what anybody else is doing. It's how the fuck do we get through this?
The best you can do.
How do we get through this right now? And then what are we going to do about this? And you know, like it's not about other people. Although you'll say, I don't think other kids do this, but you don't know. It's just
so
about
it's more
you
about,
and what's going on in your house, in your closed doors.
So that means we have, like me and other Baron need to be on the same page about how we're going to.
As much as all about can. You and your part. That's it. That is the whole thing. If you guys can be a team together, you can withstand the hurricane of parenting a child because it is not.
You're not
easy.
Selling me on this. Like you're just not. No, I want the Lamborghini.
But what is making me think of all this like horror that we're sharing with you two. And I'm so sorry for this. I hope you do go on to have children.
What's the good part?
But wait, hold on. I want to say that
the good part is partnering with your significant other.
He's speaking what I was going to say.
Raising a child together. So like creating this thing and then continually like molding and shaping it and then like enjoying the ride.
Yeah. And then molding like, and shaping yourself.
Right.
Yeah. Based on that child.
That experience.
And like
and
think
that
about
hardness.
Like the experience that like we are going through right now of like, the world being reflected like back in like each other and like the stretch and the growth from like partnering with another adult. And then there's this like kid that's completely egoless. Like that's a whole other like mountain to climb, which
and
is
then
cool.
They come into the world, their own person.
Yeah.
You
and that's crazy.
You just brought a
and then
whole
you'll
new
have to
human
adapt to that too.
Into your world. And that's what parenting is. It's a whole new human that you've brought into your world. You don't know who they are. You don't know anything about them. You think they're going to be this way, but they're not. They're not going to be the way you thought they were.
I think that's easy for us to understand because we have conservative Republican parents and we are not that way at all. So I get that part. But you know what's interesting? I'm wondering about expectations because I'm sitting over here like, I hope my kid's funny. Oh, what if my kid isn't hot? Like, like I'm sitting over here like, oh God.
But Baron, do you not understand or have you not heard in this whole conversation that the conversations that you two will have to try to get on the same page are preparing you for all the conversation you will have when you get into parenting? Like, hey, I don't like right now, Mary has made this random decision by herself that it's okay to swear now in front of the kids because they're old enough. And I'm like, hey, I still don't want my kid walking around saying things like, fuck off.
Interesting. Like, I would have pegged you to be the one to make that decision.
Well, because of my horrible childhood, I want to do better. And Mary's just like, and Mary's probably far more chill about it. Like, language isn't that important in this case. Whatever it is, we're not on the same page. And it just came out of nowhere. And this conversation you're having about how to make this kid, how you're going to pay for it, this is the beginning of all of it. This is it. This is it.
So we're basically starting parenthood now.
She wants to add on.
It's not just that. Like, for me, it's like, I want to be mom and so does she. So we're vying for mom. And so we're co-parenting the shit out of this.
Someone should try to pick up dad.
Because we both, we both want to be the parent that's loved. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, interesting. Right.
And that happens a lot in gay relationships. We co-parent like fuck because we want to be loved.
Oh, you're going to get so competitive. Go ahead.
Yes.
I feel like our generation sort of like really exploring like queer identities and like our like genders, we're also approaching parenting from this like entirely new perspective of like what is like gender affirming as parents. And so like in a couple who's non-binary, like how do they like navigate these like roles that are affirming to their own identity but still fulfilling the needs of a child.
I would take it even further, and I would take it out of the jargon only because I'm old and I'm not in with the jargon.
Sure.
And I would just say all of the shit gets thrown out the window because you've lost the like a man and a woman, and then it becomes roles. Two people roles who have to decide who does what. And in our family, I can't speak for others, it's just, do you do that better? I'm never going to let Mary pay the bills, not because I take on the manly roles, but because I'm better at math.
But when it comes to parenting.
And what's so cool and attractive like about that is that it's like such a creative process. Mm-hmm. When you throw everything out the window and everything is up in the air. Exactly.
Yourself. It's all up in the air. Yeah, exactly.
You guys, this was, I feel like they flipped the tables on us a little bit. Like,
well,
I feel like at some point they were interviewing us.
Questions like about parenting.
Because
I feel
we're dumb kids.
But I kind of like
it. We need to ask the questions. Yeah.
And I don't like Googling this stuff.
This was amazing.
Eye-opening relationship.
It was something.
What I look forward to, I feel like we need to check back with you guys in like a year to hear.
No, in like 10 years.
Yeah, we're going to be in the same place.
You're right. 5 years.
In like 10 years.
How about every year or every so often on our social media, you guys check in and tell us when you've had movements forward on the family planning?
Sure. I mean, I want to set up a...
Well, I want more.
I do too.
I will take short videos from you. I will take...
Maybe by next time we'll have like a bank account set up that's like our baby fund. Oh. And I'm going to call it baby making fund.
Then you'll really be millennials that are like really pushing the needle.
Yeah,
forward.
If you set up a baby
if
fund.
You actually
I want a baby fund.
A baby
I, because that's the thing. I'd rather put $100 away
I'm
every
still
month.
Paying off my loan.
On this
to
season,
make my
we
baby.
Are going to really? Talk to somebody who is a financial planner who's going to talk about financial planning for your gay family.
Link me.
Yes.
Yeah, baby.
So, I want updates from you guys on social media, and I want to say thank you for coming and flipping the tables on us and asking us questions, but also for sharing just like, I don't mean this negatively, but just like the messiness that is the early conversations and reminding
and also
us,
your early 20s. They're messy.
Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.
So
we love
much.
You.
Thank you.
All right. More to come.
Bye.
I mean, those two barons.
I can't even.
I mean, regular Baron is a lot, and I love him so much.
It's really hard to rein him in.
It really is.
Track.
But thank God for other Baron, because other Baron, I think, really, they're a very nice yin and yang couple.
Good partnership, I think, for sure.
I want to check in with them in a few years and see if maybe they just have a dog or if they're like really having a baby.
They should start with a dog. Maybe a cat. Maybe a fish.
They think they already have a cat.
Oh, okay.
So. They don't even live together yet, so I think they have some time.
Yeah.
Anywho. Anyway, good luck to the Barons.
You go, Barons.
You check in with us, other Barons.
Yeah.
Speaking of checking in, Jamie.
Tiff and Carissa.
Should we play your little jingle?
Yeah, let's play it. Let's do it.
Tiff and Carissa are having a baby.
Okay, so neither of us were like super comfortable or excited to talk about.
We were too excited.
Well, yeah, excited. Yes. But both kind of uncomfortable about talking about to like the masses. Yeah. How we actually went about like inseminating and like planning for insemination. But together we've agreed and we've decided,
as I'm throwing up in my mouth a little bit.
All right. We've decided that this is for science. Mm-hmm. So we will share. So we did track ovulation. Tiffany tracked ovulation for months, right? For a few months.
No. But just the one. Babe, do, like, are we together? Like, are we...
Okay, no.
Are we a partner? No.
So we did that for 1 month.
Yep.
And then we went ahead and ordered the sperm from a sperm bank. We ordered the donor samples.
Yeah, because
from the bank.
Quick, like, not sure if this is allowed, but plug. I use Ovia, which is an app on my phone, and I use it to track my periods, and then from there, use it to track my ovulation. So I knew what our window kind of was just based on looking at that.
Yeah. So we went ahead and ordered. Then we did at home insemination when it was time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I did hand that over to you.
Yeah. When it came to the actual specimens.
It, yeah, and the gametes.
Donor samples. I was the handler.
Yeah.
Which I love because I love science. And it was like following
and
directions.
Also, they're gross. Everything's so great. Messy.
But it was so fun. And then also, I guess we do have to share, even though it makes us a little uncomfortable. But as it says on the internet, if you also, like, if you have sex,
if you baby danced
before you...
Totally.
Inseminate,
for sure.
It increases your chances.
And I was very adamant about baby dancing horde prior to baby dancing.
No
complaints. Baby dancing again. Re-baby dancing. Extra baby dancing. For science, babe. For science. Just get back down there.
Say goodbye to the baby dancing now, girls.
Oh my God, there's so much
get
coming
it in there
for
now.
Them. So much coming for them. They don't even know. Isn't it so cute?
I know. So sweet. Baby dancing, huh?
I never heard the term baby dancing.
No, I love it. I'm going to start using it.
But I'm glad to hear that they are, how they're doing it. Now we know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad, maybe the wrong word, but they're doing it. Literally.
What, the baby dance?
I meant the process. I'm so uncomfortable right now. It's hilarious. But all right,
so
you know,
messy, huh? Interesting, because you and I never actually touch the stuff.
I know. I'm
it's
like
always in a nice, cute little pink tube, ready.
Well,
to
go and the doctor just came in with a vial and said, "Is this your number?" Yeah. And then that was it. I never had to. I was like, "Sure, that looks right."
Uh-huh.
Messy. All right. Well, interesting. What's interesting is Tiff and Chris are on their way.
They are.
Like, they are trying
having a baby.
I'm so glad they're sharing this with us.
I know. And enjoy the baby dancing now, guys. Really.
And by the way,
get it in. Get
next week. Next week, I've got a file of them talking about getting the sperm shipped to Tiffany's office.
I know.
That's going to be a good one.
It's
next week. Next week. Tune in.
The things we go through.
Oh,
the
to
things
get a baby.
We go through. Ugh. So this has been good.
Speaking of the things we go through, why don't you tell us about them on our social media or tell us your stories?
Tell us all kinds of stuff. We just got a voice memo recently through email randomly that was so beautiful. You'll hear it.
Yeah, we're
going to
put that
up
next week.
We love it. We love hearing from you guys. So hit us up on the social. You can send us an email at ovariestalk@gmail.com. You can hit us up on the Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
At Ovaries Talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At the Instagram.
Oh, ovaries_talk.
My brain is not working.
Okay.
You better take over with this. Right
and
now.
On Facebook, If These Ovaries Could Talk.
There it is.
So follow us, rate and review the podcast, because that's
please
really
do.
Important. That keeps it, that it makes the programmers go, oh, look at this podcast.
Yeah. Maybe we'll mention them for pride.
Yes. On that note.
Did I mention I'm tired?
On that note. Let's thank our sponsor, Grove.co.
Grove.co.
So nice of them to be along on the ride with us.
It smells so good, guys. Go get some.
And Jamie's house is clean. And that
My
if that's
house
not
is
a
really
ringing
clean.
Endorsement,
I don't mess around.
Use the OCT code.
Do it.
All right, guys.
Enjoy the baby dancing, ladies and gents.
So uncomfortable. Eggs.
Ovaries.
Baby dancing out.
Ovaries could talk, they would say. Ovaries out.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.